felt fire from above, and I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return. You know my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone, and all my sins are forgiven, and I've been washed by the blood.
I'm no stranger to the prison. I've worn shackles and chains, but I've been freed and forgiven. I'm not going back, I'll never be the same, and that's why I sing. Breaks him down to his knees.
God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord.
Then he picked me up and showed me what it means to be a man.
Come on, let's sing. Oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God.
How do you follow that? The Lord is surely in this place today. And we're here today to worship God, but we're also here to recognize Kim as another year in ministry and service in our church. You know, Kim is more of the motherly type, and she just takes people in under her wing, and she nurtures them, and she loves on them, and they look at her as a mother. We've had a lot of kids that she's not a mother to, but she became the mother of. And so, Kim, we appreciate all you do for this church. And we know a lot of times that we don't see everything that goes on, but God knows everything. And so we just would like to say thank you today. You know, people choose roses sometimes to show their love for other people. And maybe a spouse even, because the rose is love. And so we know that we in the Christian life, the white rose represents purity and sanctify, and a rose bush was said to be found growing at the site of Christ's death. I did not know that until I was reading this week in some of the books that I had that gave scripture and all. And then the red represents the blood. And we know that Kim has accepted Christ and that the blood of Jesus covers her. And then she spreads that love and all to everyone that she comes in contact with. And so we know that God gave the ultimate sacrifice for us. And today we have the kids coming. And if you'll come up, Kim, and we know that a distinctive woman of God is a woman of strong faith, courage, talent, knowledge, discipline, and prayer. And our distinctive woman today of God is Kim Gainey. And we want to honor you today. We love you and we appreciate you. And so, kids, if you will come and present Miss Kim. While they're doing that, yellow roses is Kim's favorite. And Proverbs 31:25 says, "She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future." Let's give her a hand of appreciation. And Vince, they told me I had 3 minutes, so there's a clock on this pulpit stand.
As we come to our prayer time, I just want to say I do thank the Lord for Kim, and she's a blessing to me in ministry. I couldn't do what I do without her. Thank you for honoring her today. I want to ask if you would just begin come join me in praying this morning. We have a lot of prayer requests. One of the things I definitely want to pray about is the opportunity we have with Good News Club at Skyland Elementary. You're going to be hearing a lot more about that. If you're interested in praying about being a part of that, it's going to be Wednesdays starting October 3rd from 3 o'clock to 4:15. It'll be with the after-school program there, so we're excited about the opportunities we have to be able to share the gospel with young children. And also, just as we took our Janie Chapman missions offering today, pray for our state missions also, as that's what that goes to. And then we have our harvest offering will be coming up to pay down principal on the building here on the 16th of September. Just continue to pray for Wasatch Cowboy Church. Josh and I will be going out there in late September as they are trying to prepare to build a building as well as a new church plant. They are in a place where they're very persecuted for their faith as well. Continue to pray for Agape Church there in Samsun. You've heard of all the things going on there in Turkey and what's happening there because of the tariffs and different things happening. So if you would pray for them. Also, we need to pray for Dwayne Henson. That's Becky and LaFoy's son. He's at Greenwood Memorial now and about to be transferred to Columbia to the hospital there on Tuesday. He had a heart attack. He's had some complications related to that. They're going to try to put in a pump to try to help him with his heart. And if not, that doesn't work, then he's going to be a candidate for a heart transplant. So it's very serious. So if you would, let's pray for Becky and LaFoy. Just continue to pray for Tim Odom. They had a great benefit yesterday. I think they raised about $22,000 for him and for his family. So continue to pray for them. As Francis Bailey will be having heart surgery here in September in about a week or so. We've got Miss Peggy Griffith, also battling cancer, Shane's aunt, Miss Crystal Perry, also, recovering from surgery. And, just as the Lord's going to speak to our hearts today, if all your hope is in Jesus, we know that he's bigger than all these things. And so we can rest and rely upon him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity we have to come to worship you freely and openly, and Lord, to have the opportunity to worship you in spirit and truth. I pray that each of us have been preparing our hearts to receive the message that you are giving us today, Lord, from your word. Lord, that we would not only hear your word, but Lord, we would be doers of the word. And Lord, that through application of the word to our lives, Lord, we would be forever changed. Lord, as we heard through that song of our hope only in Christ, Lord, I just know, Lord, that the difference you've made in my life and many others here, Lord, in the fact that not that we're perfect, but Lord, you're perfecting us each and every day as you mold us more into your image. Lord, I pray that we would be malleable clay, Lord, that you could mold and shape, Lord, that we would not be hardened. We would not be the clay that would have to be discarded, Lord, but clay that would be used to bring honor and glory for you. God, I pray, Lord, as we come today, Lord, for the opportunity there with good news. I pray, Lord, that there would be many children who will hear the gospel, Lord, through the faithful witness of saints from not only Ebenezer Welcome, but local churches around this community, Lord, as we join together in trying to reach those in our community. Lord, I pray also, Lord, for Dwayne, Lord, for Miss Becky and LaFoy. I pray, Lord, your special comfort and blessings upon them today, Lord. Just you'd be with them to give them strength and hope, Lord, and be renewed in you each and every day. Lord, I pray, Lord, also, Lord, for those that are going through the battles with cancer, Lord. We have several that are going to be are already facing that, Lord, and that are dealing with that. Lord, I just pray, Lord, give them strength and perseverance. For Miss Perry, I pray for recovery from her surgery, Lord, to be able to once again be with us and to prepare to serve as her heart so desires, Lord. God, I pray now, Lord, as your word goes forth, knowing it does not return void. God, that you would speak into each of our hearts. Lord, you speak to us. Lord, we would respond to you, Lord, and we would acknowledge you in our lives, Lord, as our Lord and Savior, Lord, or to come to you today for the first time, Lord, to place our faith and trust in you. Lord, we have no hope apart from you. So we call upon you today and ask you to be with us today, Lord, and to challenge us to turn to you, Lord, and to walk with you each and every day through your word. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. As we have been going through this discipleship wheel study, I was speaking last week about the doctrine of God and the fact that as a new believer, as one who is growing in their faith, one who is moving from being an infant who has to be fed into becoming a child of God, is that there comes a time when not only are you receiving the word, but then you're beginning to share the word. There's an old expression, it's just, I'm just one beggar giving crumbs of the bread that I've received to those that are in need also. And so we're sharing the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, with those around us that are perishing. And so the obvious thing is that once we become a follower of Christ, is the Lord's command us that we're to go and to be proclaiming the message of the gospel to those around us, that we take the knowledge and understanding we have of the Lord and we share that with those that are around us. If you'll turn to Genesis chapter 1, verses 25 through 27, I'm going to kind of break this down. A couple of these scriptures are from right here in Genesis, and the main text primarily is from Jeremiah chapter 18. But I pray as we study today that as we think about last week, as we learned about God and who he is as our creator, as our sustainer, as our redeemer, that we also are aware of the fact that we need to understand who we are as man. And so today's study is about the doctrine of humanity. And to be able to study about man, we need to go back to the beginning. And so the book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. And so we're going to begin there in chapter 1, verses 25 through 27. And it says there, and God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we see from the very beginning that there was something different and unique about from creation when God created man. Because when we see about when he's creating all the different animals, it says that he created them after their kind. And so all of them were created in that same pattern or that same image of cows or horses or birds or snakes or whatever it may be. But they were all created in that same image of one another. But the difference is when it comes to man. You see, we are created being just like the animals are in all of creation. But yet we're created uniquely different from all the others, because when it comes to that part, for the first time, we see the Trinity being brought into Scripture when it says, let us make man in our image. And so we see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit involved in the creation of man. And we know that they were created, and that God and those persons of God, the Father, God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all a part of all of creation. But specifically here, it says, let us make man in our image. So when you think about that, we're different and unique in the sense that we're created in the image of God. And so the animals were not. All of creation was not made directly in the image of God either, only man. And so as we are studying this morning, you need to be aware of the fact that animals have a physical body and they're a physical being, and so are we. But the difference is, by being created in the image of God, is that we have a spiritual aspect of us too, in the fact that we're created in the image of God in the spirit too, in the sense that we have a soul. And that with that, we're created to be in fellowship with Him and to worship Him and to serve Him also. And so as we see in the very beginning of creation, there's a matter of dignity given to life, in the sense that God created man in His image above all of creation. He gave us the authority to rule and to reign over all of creation. And so with that, He created us different from the animals, but yet still not God. Now, there are some teachings that, of false beliefs, that would say that if you can one day become like God or become a God, and it sounds a lot like when Satan in his rebellion was an angel of God, and yet he led worship, and yet he wanted not only be like God, but he wanted to be a God. And so he was cast from heaven. And so when you think about those things, we see that we're created in the image of God to worship Him. And we have that spirit in us, that desire to want to worship Him. And so with that, we're created to be like Him. Now, let me just say, there's nothing we can do, nothing we will do, or nothing we will not do that will change that, that we're all created in the image of God. And so the good news is that we're created in the image of God, and that we're different from all creation, yet we're a part of creation. The bad news for some of us is that for all those people that have mistreated us or spoken things about us that, that have acted hateful towards us and all those things, is that, you know, we can't look at them and say, well, they're not creating the image of God. We're all created in the image of God, whether we're those who are followers of God or those who have rejected God or those who do not know God yet. And as mankind, we're all in the image of God. And so with that, there's a great matter of respect in creation for all men, all mankind. If every man is important to God and the fact that He created us in His image, then that's a matter that we need to respect and give dignity to those that are part of the human race. It doesn't matter what color, it doesn't matter what nationality, it doesn't matter what language, what culture they come from. They're all created in the image of God. You know, that's why when you go to share the Bible and the Scriptures, the Word of God, cross-culturally, the Word translates across from culture to culture, from person to person, because that connection that we're all created in the image of God and we're alike. And the fact, too, that God's Word is truth. You know, when you take some other message or you're trying to share some other information, sometimes it just doesn't carry over. And, you know, when people try to get these analogies to go along with a message they're using in America, and you go cross-culturally with it, you kind of lose something in translation because people are so different that the things that we talk about here doesn't even apply to other parts of the world. But when you preach the Scripture and you teach the Word of God, it does not return void, because it's truth. It's God's Word. And it penetrates the hearts of people. But from the very beginning, we know that there in the garden, there was no sin, and man was created in the image of God. But the thing we also know, as you look over in chapter 3 here, beginning in verses 1 through 6, is we learned that that didn't last very long because of the depravity or sin of man. It says in verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And He said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will surely not die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. You see, it wasn't very long after creation that the evil one began to attack mankind. Notice that he doesn't go to the animals and attack the animals and things like that, but he goes to the ones that's created in the image of God, man and woman. He begins this attack by twisting the word of God, by trying to deceive this woman into doing what God has told her not to do. Now, there's a couple things you notice in the scripture here. First of all is she was there and she said, not only are we not to eat of it, but we're not to touch it. Well, God never told him you can't touch it. He just said, don't eat it. But the thing I think people don't really notice a lot of times is that when it goes on to say that the woman saw it's good for food in verse 6 and it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree that's desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And then she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. You see, Adam was right there from the beginning. Adam had received the word from God directly, and it was his responsibility to warn Eve and to tell her, do not eat from this tree. And yet he still did not warn her, though she was being deceived. And then he turned around and took from the tree from her because she had eaten and said, it is good. And so he ate from it. And so the deception and the depravity of sin entered into the world through Adam, the first man, and Eve. And through that, sin marred this creation and marred this world that we live in. And so as you're talking about trying to share the gospel with someone who does not know Christ, these things may sound like some way of going a long way around about it, but people need to know where we started at and then know what happened to be able to understand how we can then be reconciled or once again in relationship with God. It will not be because of anything that we do through our works. It will not be through our own righteousness. It'll only be through the grace of God. Through his deliverance are we saved. Through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to ask if you would just to turn over to Jeremiah chapter 18. And I just want you to kind of begin to imagine as the story unfolds here. The Lord had told Jeremiah there to go down to a potter's house and that he would give him a word when he got there. And so some of you that are a little bit older may be a little more familiar with this text because I think it was probably preached more in years ago than it is today, but it's very relevant today. Is he goes down to the potter's house and he begins to watch this potter. And as the potter takes the clay from an old bucket there and he begins to put it on the wheel and turn it with his feet and he's using his hands to begin to work the clay and to begin to shape it, he puts a little water on it. He's continuing to work this and make it very moist and malleable, something that can be molded into an image that he is creating. And as he is watching what takes place there, this master potter, he begins to mold this shape and he's making something. You see in his mind that he's got an idea of what it is that he's wanting to make, and everything's starting to come to fruition. It's starting to look just like what he wants it to be. And all of a sudden, there's a bad place, an air pocket, or maybe it's that hardened clay that's got mixed in with the soft malleable clay that causes that vessel to be distorted or to collapse. And so he has two choices there. He can either be patient, work with it, and begin to form it again and try to make it again or make something different out of it, or else he can just throw it away and discard it. And so what the Lord is making clear to Jeremiah, what he's going to begin to make clear to us today too, is this, is he says that you are just like that clay in my hands, the Lord says, O house of Israel. And so what we need to begin to understand today is this, is that the Lord is the potter, the master creator, and that he is the one who created us, and that he is shaping us into those people of God that he wants us to be as those that are followers of God. And he is making us into this vessel that he wants to be beautiful before him and to be used by him for his glory and his honor. And so as we're looking at it, Jeremiah was looking at it, he goes on to say that the potter, once that happened, it made it into another vessel and it seemed good to the potter to make. You know, when we think about our lives and relations to God, is a lot of times we tend to think, Lord, you created us, if we even take the time to think about that. But, you know, I can live my life and I'm going to live my life. I'll give maybe my life to you and parts of my life, but I'm going to live my life the way I want to. And you see, there are those that look at this scripture and kind of tend to think, well, it was just that the clay that the potter was working with was really not good clay. Well, this was a master potter. He knew what he was doing, and he knew how to work it. But if you've ever watched as they're doing that, is there's always going to be some that's kind of dried up. And typically what happens, they begin to work it and form it. If it doesn't become pliable and malleable, is they take a little tool, they're spinning it, and they begin to trim some of that off. And so what happens is they're cutting away that is no good. And folks, I want to think about that when you think about circumcision of the heart. How God, when he saves us, he circumcises our hearts and he trims away and cuts away all those things that are no good to us, that sin that has been a part of us. And so he begins working on us and trimming away and preparing us to be the vessel that he wants us to be used by him, to bring glory and honor to him through our lives, through our worship, through the use of our lives for him and his kingdom. You know, as you think about that potter, he may have been making a jar there that he was going to then someday paint and use there in his kitchen or to give to a friend. And once it was marred, he could have thrown it away. But he chose not to. He was very patient. You know, Scripture says that the Lord is very patient and long-suffering, not desiring that anyone should perish. I'm so thankful that he is a patient God with us, because I know in my own life that he has to have great patience with me, because so often he's trying to lead me and direct me in what I'm to do. And I'm thinking, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. It's got to happen now. It's got to happen soon. And we all get that way. Rather than just say, Lord, mold me. I'll be here. Just you shape me into what it is you want me to be. Prepare me to be used by you. That should be a prayer of our heart each and every day, is that we're praying, Lord, mold me into your image more and more each day. Because you see, when we think from the very beginning, we were created in his image. But because of sin, that image has been marred or distorted or changed by sin. And so as he is performing that surgery on our hearts and he is shaping our lives through his word and through our application of his word and our following him and abiding in him, is that each and every day he's molding us more into his image. Folks, I want you to think about this today. As you know in your heart of hearts, better than anybody, is, are you moldable? Are you being molded every day by the master potter? By the Lord God himself, is he shaping your life in such a way that your life is being changed every single day to have a greater desire to meet with him and study his word, to hear from him through his word, and the Spirit direct you and guide you in how to take that word and apply it to your life, to live your life in such a way that you honor God and glorify him, but also that you point others to him as well. You see, the whole reason we're studying about man today in this discussion, and we never get away from God, is because we are a created being, is that we're not the creator. We are the created being. And with that said, is that we have a creator, and there's a need for everybody to acknowledge him as our Lord, as our Savior, as our creator. So those that are out there that either take his name in vain and have, want nothing to do with God, or those that want to live their lives for themselves, and maybe they come to church and they want to look like everybody and talk like everybody when they're here in church, but they want to go out and do their own thing when they go out in the world, is you're not being molded by God. You are like that clay that's drying up. And it can only be discarded after a period of time to be circumcised and removed. You see, even with a master potter, there comes a time where that clay is no longer usable if it's sat long enough and dried out and become hardened enough. I want to tell you as a believer today, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he saved you, he gives you eternal life. But he gives you also, through the Spirit, gives you gifts to use to bring honor and glory to the Lord, to serve him and to worship him with and to point others to him. And maybe you have those gifts and you've sat on those gifts for a long time because you're like, I've been there, I've done that. Somebody else can do it. Somebody else will jump in there and take care of it. And I'm not going to do it. But for whatever reason, you've not used those gifts that God's given you in a long, long time. You know, after you don't use those gifts for a while, it may be that you just lose those gifts as well. The other side of that deal is when God gives you gifts and you're a faithful steward of using those gifts to honor and glorify him and to point others to him, is that quite often he gives you additional gifts too, in the sense that you're then able to be used more in a greater way as a vessel of blessing to point others towards him. Now, I'm not talking health and wealth here. I'm not trying to get too Pentecostal on here. Don't flip out on you, Southern Baptists. But here's the deal. All of these things are true from the Word. Is that the Spirit of God reveals God to us. And each one of us have responsibility to respond to him as he's revealed to us. First for salvation, and then once we've been saved, is to continue in that closeness of intimacy of walk with him. And so with that, the Lord is creating this vessel, working in the life of the house of Israel. And he's speaking about a nation here. But let me just say this. What makes up nations but individuals? You know, when I was mentioning Turkey earlier, one of the big problems right now is not so much the tariff right now. That's part of it. That's hurt their economy and inflated their economy. But the bigger issue right now is a 99.9% Muslim country is holding a U.S. pastor for espionage on false charges. And so with that, our government is taking a stand saying he is one of our citizens and he is important to us and you will release him and he will come home or else we're going to continue to make these tariffs and things against you. Now, you can say that's political. But let me just say this. What it says to me is this, is just as the Lord makes it clear that every life is important to him and matters, as Christians, every life should matter to us. You've heard police lives matter, black lives matter. Let me just say, when all that was going on, I said, look, all lives matter to God and to us as Christians. There's no difference in nationality. There's no difference in race. All are created in the image of God. And so with that said, we should not let sin and the depravity of sin enter into our lives to view people differently because of their skin color or their language or where they live or where they're from. We should love everyone. But most importantly, we need to be telling them about the one who loved us enough that he sent his son to die for us and raised him from the dead. And that with that, he gives the hope and the promise of eternal life if we'll repent of our sin and turn to him and call upon him and ask him to forgive us and to save us. You know, as the Lord is speaking to Jeremiah, this is a word not only for the church today, not only for us individually. It's a word for the nation of America today, is that we too need to be aware of the fact of the sovereignty of God, because that's what he's talking about here, is the fact that as that potter, he can decide what he's going to do with the clay, whether he's going to keep it, whether he's going to throw it away, what he's going to make with it, and whether he's going to destroy it. And so when we think about that in our own lives, it acknowledges the fact that he is God and we're not. When we think about that as a nation, it's the fact that we're not just the greatest nation on the earth. We're that because God has blessed us with that, but he can take that away at any point too. And so as we are studying the word today, there's a word here from Jeremiah to challenge all of us, is that we need to be reminded he is the potter and we are the clay. If you think about from the creation story from the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says there that the Lord created created Adam, and as he did so from the clay. It says, and the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground. Well, that word formed there is the word that's used in Jeremiah for potter. And so we realize that from the very beginning, we were just clay in the hands of the potter. And that he has every right to exercise his rule and his reign over us, and that we need to submit ourselves to him and surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, as I think about the fact of the potter too, is I was reading, and most of you familiar with us, in page 349 of your hymn book there, is there's a song written by Adelaide Pollard that says, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold over my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me." You know, we sing that song a lot as a congregation. But I want to ask you this morning, is it just words to you? Are we just going through a tradition of we sing a closing hymn of invitation and we walk out the door, but yet we don't mean the words that we sing? We don't lift those up to the Lord, because as we're singing, we're to be giving praise to the Lord and we're acknowledging our need for him. We're committing ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so with that, we're saying, "Lord, take me, mold me, shape me, that I may be glorifying to you, and that with that you might save others, and that you might be glorified through me, and I would be a vessel that can be used." I don't know about you, but a vessel's no good to us if it's not usable. I didn't grow up rich. I'm a practical person, and to be quite honest with you, when I buy a gun, I try to take care of it, but if it gets a scratch on it, it ain't the end of the world. If I buy a truck and it gets a little dent in it, it ain't the end of the world. I bought it to use it. And the beauty of it is not just in outward appearance, but in the memories and the things of what's taking place with it and the use of it and what's happened with those things. I think of how many times just sitting around a tailgate with a shotgun or a rifle that the Lord's blessed have had opportunity to lead men to the Lord. And you think about those things. Everything that he's given us to steward over it, that we might point others to him, that we might live lives that glorify him. But are we being molded today? Do you trust the potter? If he saved you and you're a follower of Christ, do you trust him this morning to mold you into the person he wants to be? Are you willing to be pliable that he can do that by surrendering to his will rather than yours? As the Lord is speaking to you this morning, maybe you just need to come and say, "Lord, mold me, shape me. I'm tired of fighting and resisting against you. I'm tired of trying to be my own person, because I realize I'm yours. Take my life and use me to bring glory to you." Maybe you're here today and for the first time you realize you've never surrendered to Christ to give your life to him, to trust him as your Lord and your Savior. Today is the day of salvation. I invite you to come today and ask him to forgive you of your sins and place your faith and trust in Christ alone, believing in your heart that he died, he rose from the grave on the third day, and confessing with your mouth and asking him to save you. And the scripture says, you will be saved. Don't leave here the same, folks. Our mission field is out when we walk out of these doors. This is a time that we're committing ourselves to the Lord now. As you stand, let's pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for each individual that's here, Lord. It's not by happenstance that we're here. But Lord, in your divine sovereignty, Lord, every one of us have come today, Lord, to hear your word and to be challenged by your word for those that are followers of Christ to grow in that relationship with you. Lord, through surrendering ourselves to the lordship of Christ, Lord, and you working in our lives and changing us each and every day. Lord, for the one who came today, Lord, maybe just through the invitation of a friend or family member, Lord, today is a day of salvation for the one who does not know you. Lord, to finally acknowledge you as their Lord and their Savior and to turn to you believing, Lord, there's no hope apart from you. As we just sang earlier, Lord, all our hope is in you. Lord, may you be glorified as you work in the lives of your people. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.